This podcast of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed is brought to you by Noble Oak Life Insurance. Buy direct and save up to 20%. No advisors, no surprises. It's Noble Life Insurance. Just search Noble Oak.
Hello. Oh, sorry.
Let's start like that. Hi, podcast.
Yo, dudes.
How good was Jimmy Barnes? Oh. What a unit of a man.
I just love him. I get to see him a lot now, and he's so, like, warm and kind. And then when you read his book, Ed, and see his movie, you see what he's been through. You wonder how he doesn't hate everyone.
Mm. That's some of the most harrowing stuff I've ever heard, him recounting his childhood.
But I guess it's made him the man he is today, you know? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff shapes you. But it's bloody great. He's bloody great.
He's really, really, he's really evolved, is what Jimmy is.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. He's evolved.
Yeah.
He's
proof that anybody can change
exactly
and come through the other side and have a more positive influence on those around them and the world.
And then, that's true. And then off air, I asked him about the old, I thought it was an urban legend, that Kaysan was written in Cafe Sweethearts, which is a cafe in King's Cross where McDonald's now stands.
And? Is that also from the song Breakfast at Sweethearts?
And yes.
Same venue?
Yes, exactly, same venue. And he said, yes, that is true.
Yep. Oh, not an urban legend.
Yeah. So next time, every time you're in King's Cross having a Big Mac and just, you know, it's falling down your front, think to yourself, one of Australia's greatest songs was written right there next to the frozen Coke machine.
It's true.
It's insane.
We got Ding Dong Scoopla. Well, not really. Ange didn't really dish, did she?
Come on, Ange.
Forward sold us to a Studio 10.
I know. real deflating of it. But Ange came in. Ange was great.
She was always good.
And that's it. Have a nice podcast.
Yeah, boggles.
See you, bye.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right now, showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for start time?
Let's find out. Ready, set, go.
Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed.
Okay, guys. Bachelor Day.
It is like Christmas Day, only with more tight, ill-fitting dresses and Botox.
Would you say ill-fitting?
Some of them were not great. Well, one girl couldn't zip it up at the back. Did anyone not see that?
Missed that.
The girl who's from Bali who totally didn't care that one of the other girls in the house was dating her ex-boyfriend?
Yeah, doesn't care.
Doesn't care. Kept bringing it up. Why does she care? Does care. Her dress wasn't zipped up at the back. Like, they couldn't zip it up because she was quite busty.
Yay.
So, you know, I think they must have allocated.
Now
it's
like,
yeah, that's the only reason it didn't fit. Not
what
that
a
she
legend.
Was. She's a perfect body, obviously,
but
busty.
Did the badger have a Aussie-ism for that?
No. No.
Zipped up tighter than a Joanna on
in a
Prozac?
Yeah.
Yeah, that works. No, he really, he did rip out your favourite Busier Than a One Eyed Bitter in Baghdad with an itch. He added a little bit to
next
it.
He next levelled it.
So why is it? So the bricklayer's now got an itch.
Yeah, so he's like, he's so busy.
But the itch wouldn't affect his work.
No, and you
Grant.
Could just let it go.
Well, it'd slow him down because he's got to go via his crutch on the way to the wall as he's adding the bricks.
No, the itch wasn't his crutch. He actually said the itch was in his side. Gotcha. The honey badger was actually very lovable last night.
He's a nice guy. Mm. He's a lovable guy.
Did he speak in a language that you could understand at least for the majority of the show?
Yeah.
Was it as thick as you thought it would be?
No, that's what I mean. It was fine. Yeah, that's
less.
Good.
Less.
It's not many at all. It's pretty good.
We're going to talk that today. Of course we are. Jimmy Barnes is going to join us. His new documentary, which is amazing. I saw a lot of it yesterday. My goodness.
Working Class Boy.
Ooh.
Well, I've read the books.
It's based on that.
It's not happy.
Nah, tough life.
Yeah.
If you're expecting Grant, like, everything was cool.
It is not.
It was not cool.
No.
So the guy that Jimmy is today is a credit to himself. Mm-hmm. Absolutely it is. Grant Dania finally confesses to stealing from the Avoca Beach convenience store.
32 years later. That's so good. I'm so glad we're going to do this and get this off my chest because I've been carrying the weight around of that violet crumble that I'd stolen 32 years ago. And I haven't bought one since. So it's so harrowing, that experience.
Well, today we'll set you free, hopefully.
Does anyone buy a violet crumble deliberately nowadays?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone does.
They still exist. Versus
not my first chocolate of choice.
I go crunchy over violet crumble.
Yeah. No.
What?
You know, I love a bounty.
Bounties are good.
Yeah.
Bounties are good.
Yeah.
Okay. As you can see, it's the big issues. So in a moment, though, we'll tell you how you're going to win Powerball tonight, $100 million.
How are they going to win it? Really?
Yes.
Sydney, start your engines.
Start your engines, brothers.
All right. Grant, Daniel, what's my chance of winning Powerball tonight? It's $100 million.
You have a 1 in 134 million chance.
Wow.
Hooray!
It's not good odds.
No, that's terrible odds.
Is it? It's not good odds.
It's because one in three Australians are buying a ticket. That's kind of hurting us.
This is the biggest thing. I've always said, if you want to get people to vote, right, in a federal election, what you should do is you link it to a $100 million lottery. So you say, if you want to buy a ticket to the $100 million lottery, yes, I do. Just quickly tick this box, please. Malcolm or Bill.
That's a good idea. No worries.
And now you can buy a ticket.
Okay. Yeah, I like that idea.
You want a turnout? You'll get a turnout. Yeah. That gets you everyone in three at least.
Okay. But I just also feel like that odd would be, you know, my chance of getting hit by a cow would also be one in 134, probably less.
It's the largest division. Yeah. Largest division one, 22-year history. Remember, who remembers when Powerball came out?
Not me.
I do. I remember the ads. I remember just thinking.
Who was the first Powerball person? Was it a lady?
Great question.
Was it a man? No, I can see him. Who was the Powerball guy?
First Powerball host.
When we were little.
If you know, 13, 1060, who was the first host of Powerball in Australia?
I remember you used to go and watch it. My dad was in a syndicate. It was viewing.
Compulsory viewing.
Was it on during Hey Hey?
No, I feel like it was on Thursdays.
Wasn't there a Saturday draw?
Yeah, there was. Was that Oz Lotto?
Yeah, I think that was the difference.
I have memories of having to sit around and watch the draw.
And the remember the three nerds in suits, the adjudicators?
Oh, definitely, adjudicators as well.
Lab coats. It was very scientific.
three of the people from Lotteries New South Wales. Yes.
Can I see your credentials,
making
sir?
Sure everything's
they're always such excitement machines just standing there.
That was the point. You had to be the dullest person in the office.
One in three Australians.
Isn't that incredible?
One in three. Yes, Kieran?
They still do draws like that in the UK. Every Saturday night, draws. Every Wednesday night.
Amazing.
What happens when the machine has a little meltdown?
Never does.
Yeah, that is the perils of live TV, guys. We'll roll with it.
They must have two machines.
I think they do. I think I heard that they have
a backup.
Well, they'd have to. They'd have to.
Do we have 19 in our numbers? Because that's come up twice in the last consecutive draws. So that means low chance.
The amount of draws we've done, we've got every single Powerball. So 19's a guarantee for us.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah, we're getting the Powerball tonight because we're all in a syndicate. We are getting the Powerball. It's about what happens before that.
Oh, we're definitely winning. That's happening, guys. The one in 100.
Yeah, but the one is what counts.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
right, and I've already bought an island, so I need this.
Which
now.
One? Dunk?
Nah,
Cockatoo? Yeah.
That's going cheap.
Just somewhere off Airlie Beach. Fraser. Lady Elliot. I've got Lady Elliot.
Fort Denison. So
it's a good location.
We'll let you know if we're not in tomorrow.
Oh, Pinch Gut. What a
not
nightcon.
In tomorrow, you'll know why.
It's a bit cold. There's no heating in there.
Well, it isn't. In Fort Denison.
Yeah, nah. It's freezing.
Yeah, I went to a party there once. It was freezing as. And then I remember thinking, yeah, well, this was built as a fort, not as a party venue.
For prisoners.
They didn't build it with raves in mind.
A popular comedian / friend of mine got expelled from Fort Denison. And they actually have a boat which expels people back to the mainland.
Because of poor behaviour.
Yeah, it was such a an allegory for the whole country that this guy had been expelled.
He got kicked off Alcatraz.
He did. It was amazing. You're off. And he's like, I'm me. So he goes, no, you're off. And they marched him to the dock and he got in a little boat and he got...
Did someone row him? That's an awkward trip.
I fired the cannon on the roof of Pinch Gut off the Fort Denison.
At what?
Yeah. Just at the traffic going past the Harbour Bridge. They have a little charge that they can put in there because that's how they used to signify the time of day in the morning. So everyone would set their watches by setting the cannon off on the roof of there every day.
Good story.
Bang. Done well there. Good cannon story.
Thank you.
Nick Kyrgios forgot his shoes. But
oh, my
whatever.
God. Who cares?
He's so...
Seriously? Apparently, there's concerns for Kyrgios because of a hip injury. I think we need to look a little deeper than the hip.
He'll be the bachelor one day.
Who turns up without their shoes to a professional tennis match?
I don't know. Who does? He does. But don't you reckon he is definitely the bachelor one day?
Please, yeah, no.
For sure.
What? Because if I got out of the car and saw Nick Kyrgios, I would get back in the car and instruct the limo driver to keep going, sir.
He's a bit of fun, you know? You're not into that act? I like him because at least he's entertaining. Because, look, at the end of the day, sport is entertainment. And at least he's turning it on.
He's it.
That's the problem tennis has got, because all the old guys are really nice and placid, and the young guys are so feisty, and they're like, we don't know what to do.
Yeah, but they're not even winning. If he was winning, I'd be like, let him go.
That's true.
And then he won without shoes. That's how good he is.
Oh, he did win this game without shoes.
Yeah, but what was it?
Well, hey, how dare you? It was the first round at Cincinnati.
And Nick Kyrgios has been in a good paddock.
Oh, well, I think he's in pre-season at the moment. That's what we say around here. The Bachelor.
Who didn't it?
It sure did.
It was really good. And slash Tragic.
Which is exactly what you want.
Yeah, that's why you tune in.
I thought that he came across as like a very nice, came across a very nice guy.
And held back on the colloquialism.
I think they cut a lot of them out.
Okay, yeah, I reckon he would have belted them out. He would have gone in hard and they just didn't use any.
A few of the girls were using them as well to try and win him over.
Yeah, that's
bit
true,
orcs.
That's true. Yeah, bit orcs.
bit orcs.
And early leaders, you'd have to say the girl who got the key to
Georgie.
His house.
No, Brooke. Brooke got the shag key.
Yeah.
Yep, the youth worker, 23, with a decorative sleeve. I quite liked her. Very sweet.
For 23.
Too young.
Yeah.
He's 30.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Grant? 23 and 30?
Nah, that's okay. Seven years. That's
but, I mean, in this instance, like, she's not going to settle down. Nah. Like, it's a...
He wants a wifey for lifey.
Yeah, she's at a different point in her life. You're right.
I
didn't think they were going to bring that key out so early. So I missed the episode, but that was a big part of the first episode.
Yeah, and they didn't actually specify she can use it more than once.
Yeah, like does it get passed around at different points to different people?
Yeah.
Do you win it back like an immunity item on Survivor?
Well, no. See, she can use it at any time during the competition. She could rip it out.
She's
like,
got it for the length of the comp.
For the length of the comp, but they didn't state if she does use the shag key, if then she has to then put it back in the pot for another
girl. Yeah, and surely that's your use is up.
Exactly, but no one really specified that. Osha was there looking fit.
Look, Osha looked fit, but Osha looked really like thin.
Hungry.
Yeah.
Oh,
like to the point of
she looked
gaunt?
Girlfriend looked like she hadn't had a carb this year.
Yeah, like he good on him. He's and I know he wanted to lose weight. He's done well and he's looking
he
fit. He's been working out hard and I of course I respect that, but I did think at one point, hey Osh man, like
have a sandwich.
Yeah, like that suit. That suit looks just, you know. Anyway, good luck to him. Mm. And the girls were very pretty. They have taken it up a notch.
Oh, look, they
were all good.
Wonder who's overseas at the moment.
My wife is overseas.
Yeah.
I also can pick all Ed's favourites.
Who? Okay, if you know my favourite,
I reckon you would have liked Cass. The slightly unhinged one before she got unhinged.
The blonde one.
Yes.
I'm
just
going to
say you liked
her.
The blonde one.
No, didn't they? Yeah. Insert blonde here.
Insert blonde here.
Yeah. Anyway, look, I think they've taken it up a notch.
They have, but also they've also like Kayla, the energy healer. Have we got?
Would you like to hear Kayla's?
I'd love to.
Here's Kayla's introduction.
Yeah.
My name's Kayla. I'm 27, and I'm an energy healer from Coolum Beach. I don't think I said energy healer clear enough.
Oh, no, you did, dog.
Yeah, how good's healer. The energy healer?
Kayla presented him. Have we got the 2 kilogram quartz?
No.
Kayla presented him with a 2 kilogram quartz filled with intentions. She said she gave him this big pink rock, and the honey badger's like, oh, thanks, doll. And she's like, here's my big pink rock, and I filled it with intentions for you.
She said that.
Like, it was so hectic, but we're going to talk about it later. My favorite was the Russian, Dasha.
Yeah, Dasha.
Dasha's a single mother but didn't bring up the child yet.
No, you wouldn't.
Dasha's from Adelaide, but originally Russia.
No, ooh. Officially Russia or?
Officially Russia.
Okay.
She said, I am Russian, but I live in Adelaide, which is a weird sentence.
Yes, yeah, wonderful.
But we will discuss later her entrance in which it resulted in vag to eye contact.
Yeah, that was incredible.
She really presented early and got picked first.
Yeah.
Paid off.
Strong move from Dasha.
I agree.
And you know, in all senses of the word, strong core, strong move. And
vag to the badger. Nice work.
Yeah, vag to the badger.
Vag to badger.
So let's talk about the introduction. Because part of Grant, Daniel, and I obviously have connections at Channel 10, and you've got some scoop about his behaviour, Grant, Daniel, that you've heard from the set. This is something that no one said yet. It's coming up at 8 o'clock, which is exciting. What I've got hold of is some of the girls that didn't make the cut. There were actually more girls that went into the mansion last night, and they cut some of them.
Because of their interest?
Yeah, really? Because they didn't like the way they were being presented. As a way of just saying, you know, letting people know how these things normally work, can we hear, let's hear Brooke's intro one more time.
My name's Brooke. I'm 23. I am a youth worker and I live in Perth.
Perfect. Youth worker, lives in Perth.
She got the shag key.
Yep, she stayed. This poor girl got sent home.
So I'm in me 30s, I love boogie boards and Bali, and my name's Chappelle, and me sister Mercedes once chewed through a fence.
Okay, well she...
She's quietly, I'd love her to be the Bachelorette. She'd be amazing.
She didn't get through.
She's got to go film the Bachelorette.
But you can be somewhat eccentric. Was Kayla, you know, let's see Kayla amazing. Again. She's eccentric.
My name's Kayla. I'm 27 and I'm an energy healer from Coolum Beach. I don't think I said energy healer clear enough.
All right. So why is it that she's allowed to stay and this poor woman was sent home?
Hello. My name is Natasha. I am from a country no longer exists, and I am looking for visa. No, husband, visa. No, stop it. I will poison your tea. Oh, Mr. Badger, you dead man.
Oh, that's...
I like her. I wish she'd made it on. She has like Dasha's twin sister.
Nicer than Dasha.
Get all the M, Grant, and Ed you've missed. Download and subscribe to the podcast now at todayfm.com.au.
Am I being unreasonable?
Yeah, the music will tell you it's me today. Am I being unreasonable? Now, 131060, just get involved. 131060, you can tell me whether I'm being unreasonable or not, because I know I'm not, but you can...
Oh, we'll be the judge of that.
Why not ring up and agree with me, and I'll give you $50 to spend at Char Grill Charlie's.
That's not how it works.
Yummy. Well, it is today, because am I being unreasonable? I was having a breakfast with popular comedian Lawrence Mooney.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Lawrence Mooney.
I'm aware of his work.
Exactly. Now, Lawrence and I, Grant, our wives are business partners.
Oh,
off,
okay.
Off air. Of course off air. What's wrong with me? Okay. And self-editing. And then they are both in London together for a week.
Nice.
So my wife is away for a week, as we know. She gets back Sunday, so it's me and the baby.
You've been watching Mean Girls, The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Just living it. Your best life.
And
down with little Arnie.
With little Arnie. And so... Lawrence has got a similar situation because his wife Lou is away. Mm. They got their little 5-year-old. And so we were bonding over and we haven't seen each other. We see each other, but not much. We're not often in the same city, place, blah, blah, blah. So I just weirdly just said, hey, what do you got after work? And he's like, nothing. I said, oh my God, neither do I. Quickly, let's just grab a quick snack. I was so excited.
Mm.
So we walk down and as we sit down, we just ordered. Now he and I both do the same thing, which is probably a topic for another day, where is I don't let them do the, can I take your coffee order, then come back for the food.
No, at the same time.
Yeah, I order everything the same. At the mm-hmm. front, at the start.
I'm ready to go.
Always.
I hate the comeback.
Hate the comeback.
Me too.
So as we do the order, someone says to Lawrence, hey Lawrence, turns around, it is the wife of someone that Lawrence and I both know, but Lawrence knows this person a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I said, and he goes, oh, hey. And then they said, hi, this is Ed. Hi, how are you? Good. That person didn't leave until after we had both finished our food.
What?
Oh.
No.
So then you were the passenger on a conversation that you
minute.
Weren't a part of while
did
you were eating.
Did she sit down?
Nope. She stood up with her takeaway. And spoke to Lawrence, not me, just Lawrence.
She rubbed you with your bro breakfast.
Yes. And she went in and look, this is a side issue, but she did go for a kiss on the lips when he had some Lubna in his mouth, but that's a side issue. Moon was hooked on. I'm like, Moon, don't get fixated on that. Let's move on. And am I being unreasonable? Because she spent 75-80% of the breakfast just standing there and
holding her coffee
and food. Nice person, but completely ignored me. And then also, she doesn't know. How does she, Grant, if
this could have been a pre-organized date that you guys had been looking forward to for a week.
We could have not seen each other for 2 years.
Yeah.
What if I just got back from, you know, Afghanistan?
Definitely.
You had some tales to tell.
You're not being unreasonable. I would have been pretty annoyed. But I would have been kicking Lawrence under the table.
No, so I said to Lawrence afterwards, I said, how is my demeanor?
Oh, okay. Now, this was my next question because you're not very good at hiding how you're feeling.
Stank eye? Did you give us some of that?
What were you doing?
Let's go to Jake. Jake from DY.
Were you doing a lot of blinking?
Yeah, what did you
was
do?
Was there a lot of just like...
I'll tell you in a moment because Jake from DY is on the line. Jake, am I being unreasonable?
No, I don't think so. I think she should sit down and have her own coffee.
Sit down? No, she should leave, Jack. Jake, she should... Yeah, or leave. Yeah. Look, Jake's just run because he wants the chicken and he's got it. $50 at Char Grill Charlie's.
So what vibes were you giving off there?
So I asked Lawrence later on. I said, hey, mate, after she left, I said, she was a nice lady. He goes, yeah. And I said, I hated every minute of that.
were you doing food? Eyebrows? Yes. What were you doing?
And I said, how was my demeanor?
Yeah.
And he looked at me in the eye and he said, Ed, that was a perfect display of impassive. But he said, I know you. Yes. And if this was a cartoon, you would have had the red sting.
Coming out of your ears. 100%.
I've had a win today. 85%. So I'm being reasonable.
From one call.
And no, we had more calls. I just didn't let allowed to go to work.
Not allowed to go to work. I can't just give out chicken all morning, Grant Daniel.
Now we're moving forward with our Ask Me Anything series, and we've had some incredible stories, Grant. And today's one is, for me, and I know you agree, it's very important that people understand what the men and women do and what they go through and how much they sacrifice when they defend us and our country. So today we welcome Major General John Cantwell. Hello, General. Is that what should I call you, General?
That's fantastic. I'm feeling a bit good about myself having heard that. G'day, Em. G'day, Grant. Great to talk to you both.
So you joined the Army as a private soldier in 1974.
Yes, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth and made the unusual journey of going from the lowest rank in the Army to the just about the highest rank in the Army. So a little unusual to come that path. Most people come in directly as officers.
Look, you're in the service for quite a long time before you really had an active deployment. Like Iraq was your first sort of serious engagement in 1990. Yeah. So then what kind of... what was that like for you?
Yeah, look, it was an interesting time. I'd been in about 15 years and had trained and trained and trained. And like many servicemen, I was really keen to have a crack, you know, to see if I could do the things that I needed to do under fire when, you know, lives were at risk. You know, the sort of mystique around combat being some sort of glorious, you know, adventure is a load of rubbish. It's horrible. It's terribly frightening. And the things that you see and experience are really life-changing in many ways.
So you went from training to seeing a lot of dead bodies. I mean, was that...
Yeah, sure. God. But that's what many soldiers and sailors and airmen, I guess, do. You've just got to rely on the training. You sort of lean on your mates and the people around you. No one gives a toss about the politics, frankly. Mm. It's just about trying to do the job you said you would do. Look, it hits in a way that is just different. You would expect that. You feel like, God, what's the purpose of this? You know, your memories continue to haunt you to an extent at times when you'd rather they just kept to themselves.
And so when you say it haunts you, what haunts you?
I am the sort of leader, always have been, who likes to get out and about with the troops to share their discomfort and their danger. And I felt... incredibly accountable is the right word, accountable. I owed to their families and their mates and everyone else the responsibility for caring enough about it. And maybe I wear my heart on my sleeve a bit too much, but that caring comes at a cost. I mean, that's all very sad and a bit grim, but on the upside, it was a remarkable time because I got to lead fantastic, amazing, extraordinary, brave Australian men and women who were doing a job that most Australians could not imagine doing and doing it with great compassion and skill and care for the poor old Afghans who were there, you know, just trying to get their lives in order.
Look, we're chatting with Major General John Cantwell. And John, you did touch on it. And I think this is something that all Australians need to just driving in their cars now, going about their ordinary lives. When the vets come home, you've talked about the sense of abandonment by the Australian people and maybe the government in a way. There's a lot of vets taking their own lives. You know, what's happening when our vets are coming back and trying to leave? I mean, was it hard for you to get back into everyday life once you were done?
Yeah, it was, Em. It's very difficult to come back. You're sort of, you know, living life on the edge, you know, this sort of burning period of your life in terms of your actions and your activities and the danger and the risks and the rewards. And when you get home, you find that most Australians don't even know that you're over there, let alone care about what you're doing. So it's more a sense of dislocation, a sense of, doesn't anyone know what we're doing over there? Don't Australians care? Because I sure as hell care. And the way I've sort of got over that was to think, well, it's a good thing that Australians don't really engage with this. Our lives are so safe and comparatively wonderful. And so maybe it's a good thing that there are some people in our society, our defence forces, our first responders and the like, who do step forward and carry that awful heavy load so that most Australians don't have to. So they can go to work and have that job and, you know, enjoy life. But I guess the message there is for all those other Australians to just keep in mind there are people who have done it tough on their behalf.
Well,
good on you, John, mate. You made so many wonderful points. Incredible service that you've paid to this country for 38 years on the front line, and you've led a lot of our troops and done some incredible work, and we can't thank you enough for your service.
Good on you, Grant. Thanks for that. Thanks to you both.
Thanks. To hear more about John's story, head to theroadhome.com.au. Thank you, Major General John Cantwell.
Forget the alphabet and the adults. This is
Alphabet Kids.
7:08. Yes, it is. Grant Denyer, who have you got for us this morning?
We've got Madeline from McGraw-Hill in, McGraw-Hill in Sydney. she's 12. Madeline, are you on the phone? Great to have you with us. You ready to play?
Yes.
Hey, Madeline, you have something in common with my wife. What is the self-defense that you do?
I do taekwondo.
Yeah,
what
you do.
Belt are you?
I'm an orange belt black stripe.
Yeah, man. Right.
Do you know that my wife is a 6th Dan black belt in taekwondo?
That is awesome.
Hey, Madeline, is it true that she's the highest ranked female taekwondo?
For her age,
don't
yes,
put that
absolutely.
In. For her age. Highest ranked female
yes.
ever.
Yes, so there you go, Madeline. You should stick with it. It's great to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Good on you, Madeline. Excellent work. All right, here we go.
Let's see if we can win you some money now. You've got 30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter B today, Madeline. B for bongo.
Okay.
For each question you get right, you'll score $100 with a chance to win up to 10 grand. If you don't know an answer, that's all right. Just say pass and then we'll move on to the next question. We must take the first answer. Can't use the same answer twice and the adjudicator's word is final. And Mum and Dad can't help. Madeline, your letter is B. Here we go.
Okay.
Good luck. Name an item in a bathroom.
Bath.
Something you take to school.
Bag.
A Disney character.
Pass.
A chip flavour.
Barbecue.
A mode of transport.
Bus.
A vegetable.
Broccoli.
Something you can pop.
Pimple.
An animal.
Say it again.
Animal. A fruit.
Give her a fruit. Go on, give her a fruit.
What's a fruit?
Banana?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yes, it is a fruit.
$600, Madeline. Well done.
Good job,
thank
babe.
You.
Great job.
Pimple was a great answer too, by the way. We loved it.
Distracted herself. Hey, great job, Madeline. $600, well played. Another chance at Alpha Bucks Kids tomorrow morning at this time.
Well, you know, when you say fashion, I want to tell you who instantly springs to mind.
Give it to me. Who?
Thomas Markle Sr., Meghan Markle's father.
Yeah,
I mean, you
so
too, right.
Right?
Well, fashion. Yeah, because he looks like he's consumed Gianni Versace.
He's a style icon, there's no doubt about it. I describe it as bowls club chic. That's
not bad, actually.
He wouldn't even be allowed into a bowls club, though.
You don't reckon?
Not with that untouched.
Hang on, so how do we know that he's got a fashion line
coming? Thank you
for
asking. Samantha Markle, that doyen of truth, has tweeted, "So excited about my father's new hashtag clothing line for men. We'll keep you posted."
Oh, my Lord.
Now, obviously...
Is this because of that?
Yep.
The suit.
Ah. So remember there's the infamous paparazzi shots that were definitely not set up, were, of him getting his neck measured.
Yeah, the neck measured.
Yeah, by a small Mexican fellow.
Yes.
Because he lives in Mexico.
Yeah.
And so obviously the next step on from getting your neck measured for a wedding you don't go to because you fake a heart attack is to get a fashion line.
I would have thought so.
I mean, that is A plus B. Why?
Is it sort of ponchos?
Nice moo-moo.
Yeah. Is that what we're going with, or are we going for sort of figure-hugging?
Oh, he's wearing a hoodie. There in one. Oh, he's more like Ed than I thought. Look at
that. Sadly, that third picture, he is dressed as me. Like, I'm like, I'm looking at my future. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you bring it up because I suspect that perhaps he's going to be collaborating with the other people launching.
Oh, well, because the other news today, the reason that we have to bring it up because there's been a critical mass is that, and this I think is a great idea, KFC launches a new fast food inspired clothing line.
Yes.
I don't get
including,
it.
Here are some of the collection. There's chicken nugget trackies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's 100% original recipe t-shirt, Grant, which looks pretty good, actually. There's some undies for your mashed potatoes and gravy,
I get it. Yeah.
Less nice.
I like the Speedos with the Colonel Sanders bow tie around the peen.
I like the socks that say Nug Life on the side of the...
Yeah, Nug Life.
Nuggy Life.
If you want a poster boy for the Nuggy trackies, imagine him in a nice pair of grey tracksuit pants with some nuggets on it.
That's a great
That's hashtag on brand for everyone, isn't it?
What about the necklace that says finger licking good? I'm not sure about that.
For your daughters to pick that one up, wouldn't you? That's something you hope Santa puts in a stocking. Thank you, Colonel Sanders.
Speaking of daughters, you know how my kids do do the unfortunate sniff test when it comes to knowing which items we need to put into the washing basket.
Yeah.
That would actually be perfect okay. Like if the clothes smelt like the chicken, bang, we're back on.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, so they're not, that means they're clean. Well, there is KFC scented surf wax, which
see,
that's nice.
I put that on as I was sunbaking.
Oh.
Just rub it on as a nice moisturizer on my dry knees. Bang, fried chicken.
You sort of bake it into your body.
Yes. Baste myself like a delicious chicken. Mm. Well, I, for one, am going to be getting myself some Thomas Markle Senior Couture.
Are you?
I am going to be looking out for this one. And the I imagine the runway will just be full of men that look like Thomas Markle.
Yeah, they'll have to reinforce it.
What would be the slogan for his store? Does your belly cast a shadow? We'll get down to Thomas Markle stores today.
Good.
That's good.
I like that.
They'll be waddling in. They'll be waddling in whenever they... Oh, well, look.
It's for the Thomas Markle Senior Couture for the husky gent.
There you go.
Okay? He's a husky gent.
More rotund gentleman.
Voluptuous.
The only way to get even more M. Grant and Ed is to download and subscribe to the podcast. Head to todayfm.com.au. Tough Mother.
All our intros.
Something out of the ordinary. Tough Mother Sydney, November 17 and 18.
All our intros now have the secret sound at the top.
It's mandatory.
So, guys, we're meeting Sydney's toughest mothers. Yes, do something out of the ordinary. Tough Mother Sydney, 17, 18. Toughmother.com.au. A lot of fun, a lot of obstacles. And today, guys, it is a mother of four. So, from Narrabeen, we say hello to Talisa. Hi, Talisa.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Going really well. Now, you've seen this and said, yep, this sounds like my mum, Wendy. Can you tell us a little bit about your mum, Wendy?
Definitely. I thought it was a perfect competition to nominate her, and I hope she agrees. But I think the reason why I nominated her was for her tough rules and expectations of not only me, but my three siblings. So I think just her approach to parenting in general is definitely why.
So she's literally a tough mother.
Literally. Like, okay. I think I've seen it all before, but I wouldn't be surprised if she could get tougher. So,
right. Is it true, Grant, is it true, Talisa, that she will not give you dinner if your rooms are even a little bit untidy?
Absolutely. She won't wash her clothes either. So, definitely a lot of expectation to live up
tough.
To. But I think toughest that she's in is definitely sport. She was sporty growing up, but I think she'll never let us give up at anything we do. So, in sport, we get pressure by purposely bribing us, guilt tripping us about our competitors and things just to try and compete harder and be more aggressive, making up stories and just making us do just better in everything.
Helping you realize your dream and achieve new heights. What about the rules sort of within the home, like around things like, you know, swearing? Is that allowed?
No, definitely not. When we were growing up, liquid soap, so we'll put liquid soap in our mouth, forced to close our mouth for a couple of seconds, and then finally wash it out. But there's been a few situations where we had to do that. The discipline definitely comes from being a primary school teacher, that's for sure.
Ah, she's a primary school teacher as well. All right. Yeah. Now, I've never been more frightened to speak to someone, so let's say good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. Is that Ed?
It is. How are you?
Hi. Good, thank you. Yeah.
Hello, Wendy.
A bit surprised, a bit in shock, but anyway.
Oh, that's nice.
Now, do you know Grant Daniel's got a filthy mouth, Wendy? You need to wash it out for him.
as long as he puts his tongue out, he'll get the liquid soap.
No, thank you, Wendy. My mum did it to me when I was about five, and I've never sworn ever again. So it works, so Wendy, doesn't it? You have a wonderful household.
Absolutely.
Because you got to have rules, don't you?
Tight ship, Wendy.
Yeah, it's got to run like clockwork when there's six of us in the house, that's for sure.
Wow. Well, it's obviously Talisa appreciates it because she's nominated you for being the tough mother of today. So, Wendy, you've got yourself tickets to Tough Mother and $1,000 cash.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'd better start training, I think.
Good on you, Wendy.
Good on you, Wendy. What are you going to do with the $1,000, Wendy?
Oh, I think I might have to get some personal training sessions, actually. But
wow, this is the eye of the tiger over at Wendy's house. It's permanently a Rocky montage. All right, thank you, Talisa. Thank you, Wendy. And if you've see ya. If you've got a tough mother that you want to nominate at todayfm.com.au. Grant Denyer, you've been off air. You've been concerned about a story.
Look, I read this story yesterday about these two ladies who look lovely, and they're running a school canteen. And it turns out they'd robbed them of a significant amount of money, over $600,000 over like a period of 5 years, which is incredible.
No. They think it's over 20 years, statute of limitations means they could only be charged over the last five.
That's right.
That's a lot of Sunny Boys.
That's a staggering amount of dough.
It's a lot of jam donuts.
And it struck a chord with you.
How can you live with yourself after you do that in your local community? And have you guys ever stolen anything?
Nah, clean record.
Because I don't know if this is the appropriate place to do this, but...
Definitely. You know how radio works, right?
Go on.
I've once stole something.
Australia's hearts?
No. Good. Stole a logie from Roger Corse's hands, perhaps. But when I was a kid, I stole a violet crumble from a convenience store in Avoca Beach on the Central Coast, and I have not been able to live with myself ever since.
Hand the logie back, you fraud.
I'm glad this story didn't come out before the Logies. 32 years ago, this has been haunting me and weighing so heavily on my shoulders. And every time I drive past, I've been meaning to go in there and just try and unburden myself by paying back for the violet crumble that I stole that there day.
Well, you're going to get your chance, at least in an audio fashion, right now. Because on the line, I believe we're getting him up right now, God. We have Eric, who is the owner of the Avoca Beach convenience store.
G'day, Eric. How are you going?
I'm very well, Grant. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I believe you're a thief.
Oh, jeez.
How long have you been the owner there, Eric?
17 years.
Oh, Eric, this has plagued my life for a long time. 32 years ago, mate, I got to fess up. I went in there with a group of who I now know were bad influences on me, these kids, I decided to swipe, under peer pressure, a violet crumble. From your very fine establishment.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And I
don't know how you can live with yourself.
I can't, mate. That's why I'm on the line with you now, Eric. Someone caught one of the kids, and I did a runner. I just ran because I thought this kid's going to be in jail forever, so I'm out of here. And I can't even drive past now, mate, when I go up to this beautiful Central Coast just for a visit without feeling bad. And I've been meaning to come in and pay for that violet crumble for 32 years. Wow. So can you please accept my humble apologies so I can get this weight off my shoulders?
I'd rather accept your money.
All right, Eric, how about this? How about we sort this out? Next time Grant's in the Avoca area and he's near the beautiful Avoca Beach Friendly Grocer, we'll work out a way for Grant Denyer to buy a box of violet crumbles that then can be given
32.
Out. Yeah, that can be then given out as you see fit to good young boys and girls in the area.
I've got a better idea.
Yes, Eric?
Yes, Eric.
Why don't you get your box of violet crumble bars and somehow freight it out to all these poor farmers' kids and give them all a violet crumble bar each.
That's a lovely...
Eric, you're a good egg.
Bloody good idea, champion. I love it. I'm doing it.
We're going to do it.
I expect you to do it. Mate, if you don't do it, you'll feel as bad as you did when you knocked that violet crumble barrel.
Oh, don't do that to me, mate. I'm trying to unload the weight.
We're going to send Eric your headshot so he can put it up in the window like all criminals get done. You know, have you seen this man?
Have you seen this?
Put it up.
Good idea.
Yeah, put it up, Eric.
Eric,
you send it to me, please?
We're going to.
Of course we are.
Okay.
Thanks,
Eric. Don't you forget that box of violet crumble bars, and you send it out to all these farmers' kids as a little get-together gift.
Mate, good idea. Do the crime, pay the time. You're absolutely right, Eric, and I'm happy to do that, mate. So sorry.
Thanks, Eric.
That is Eric, the owner of the Avoca Beach Friendly Grocer at Avoca Beach. That was
great. Just you or me, or do you think he was going to say something else about what to do with that box?
I thought he was going to tell you to shove it up your ass, to be honest. And I would have been here for that, too.
We could still do that, though, like, as just as something separate.
We could do that. It's very radio. Put it in a cannon.
Get a little Denyer vending machine. That's like an awful vending machine.
Human
vending machine.
Swish, swish, fish.
Yeah.
Celebrity Entertainment.
Yeah.
Hello.
Ange.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Did you batch you up last night?
Oh, yes.
Hello. You saw a bit of the honey badger in action?
I saw all the honey badger. It was quite something.
He's good. I like him.
The girls. What did you make of the girls?
I love the girls. We're doing a full recap. My favorite was Dasha, the Russian spy.
Mm-hmm. And Ed liked them all.
It thought the quality had really lifted in their personalities and brain power.
Ange, they're hotter than last year, aren't they?
Okay. I think their personalities are extraordinary.
Go. Thank you, Ange.
So do I. They're all out for a job in the media.
But I reckon some of their personalities they've got done in Thailand.
Well, hey, Vanessa Sunshine's bosoms were very symmetrical.
They were. Did you just hear Grant Daniels say, do you want some goss? Of course I want some goss.
Oh!
I have some inside word. This is from a crew member embedded in the filming process. Our Batchy is operating a little bit different than what we're used to traditionally. Do you know he's never seen the show before he accepted the job and started filming? Never seen it. Never seen an episode.
I believe.
Ange, does that scan for you? Do you believe that?
It's actually true. The man does not own a TV set.
He doesn't own a TV? I didn't know that. Yeah. He was 3 weeks in filming before someone actually sat him down and showed him an episode as to what it was all about. He's just done it because he thought it was a bit of fun. He'd like to find a girl. However, not just that. You know how they're traditionally normally quite, you know, suave and sophisticated? He operates pretty differently. This is true. He burps and farts around the girls on set.
Oh, Natch.
And they love it, apparently.
And you fart in front of a girl, and
he could feed a baby bear with his mouth and they'd love it. I mean, let's be real.
So instead of roses, I think they'll go up to him now and he just goes, pull my finger. And that's whether you stay or not.
The other problem the wardrobe people are having, there's your other hot goss, is he'll drop and do some squats. And then they can't get the pants back on because his thighs and calves get too big. So they've actually got two lots of wardrobe for when he has exercised and when he hasn't.
That is, Ange, that is absolutely wonderful. They have the same thing for lights with Grant's teeth. Did you know that, Ange?
It's called the Denya Light Kit. We're all very familiar with it. Chanel number 10.
It's equivalent to Oprah's, I hear.
The Denya Dimmer, as they call it.
Ange, you got some goss on Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, look, he's been hanging backstage with pop stars. In fact, you know, I'm not going to say stalker, but he has been seen backstage with both Pink and Katy Perry. He and Deb have gone to see both of the pop superstars in action in their concert tours. He was at Katy Perry the other night, says she's the bomb. Her energy on stage is contagious. Loved it. He loved Pink just as much. But I've had my own backstage moment where I went backstage to see Hugh. Yeah. He was in a Broadway play with Daniel Craig, you know, James Bond.
Yes, of course I do.
And they were just doing a two-handed play. And his assistant came down and said, oh, yeah, just go on in. They're in that room up there. Say good day. Hugh wants to say good day. And I said, great. So I went in, opened the door. And there is Wolverine and James Bond both with their shirts off at the same time. And they've gone, no, it's right, come in. And I'm like, for once, my timing was just extraordinary.
Now, before you go, I hear my number one fan, Peter Ford, has been reporting that Ding Dong is leaving.
No, not
Studio
again.
Studio 10.
Not again. Not another one.
So,
tell us what's going on.
You're lucky you've got the source right here. Yeah. Like, right, I'm from Studio
what's
10.
What's the truth?
So you want the truth.
Yes.
Tune in today at 9:30. Denise is going to address the rumours herself, so that's where you get it. Right, the source on Studio 10.
Well, good tea.
But I can say that
can't lose her.
That you know, Denise, that we'll have the true story. Let's put it that way.
Goodness me,
good.
Well done, Ange.
I love it.
All right, Ange Bishop, we will see you on Channel 10 this morning.
Get extra giggles when you download and subscribe to the podcast of M. Grant and Ed. Search Today FM Breakfast on your favourite podcast app or head to todayfm.com.au now.
There is only one man that we would move Secret Sound for, and that is the secret sound.
That is the secret sound. Argy, a secret sound.
Yeah, your warm up is a good secret
That's
sound.
A good secret
it's
sound.
My favourite. Yeah.
That is the voice, of course, of Jimmy Barnes. The Working Class Boy documentary is in cinemas everywhere August 23. I saw it yesterday. It's incredible, Jimmy Barnes. Hello, mate.
Yay!
How are you going, Jimmy? How's it all going?
Well, how are you bloody going? You've come in here with a cane and your wife told me you're supposed to be in a wheelchair.
I am supposed to be in a wheelchair. I've got it in the car, but...
You refuse?
No, well, it's just, you know, turn all these corners and, you know, come in little rooms. It's easier with a cane.
No, what happened?
Oh, I did, on the weekend, I did the Mount Isa Rodeo.
Of course you did.
And I was doing the show, and you know, you think I was in the bloody rodeo, you know? I was doing the rock show, and they built this dodgy stage, and I went to walk across the stage to talk to one of the crew, and there's a big gap that they hadn't filled in, and they had no lights on it, and it was in the dark, and I just fell one leg straight down, dude. And it sort of jammed up to my muscle. I thought I broke my leg.
But you kept going.
Of course.
Like, even though you thought your leg was broken, Jimmy, you kept going.
Yeah, well, I figured I was halfway through the show, and it's one of those things. It was partly out of embarrassment and partly out of, you know, the show must go on and all that. But I think once I got up and I was in real pain and I sort of limped across the stage to the mic, and then I just started screaming again. I thought, I'm not going to stop. You know, so I sort of paced with gritted my teeth.
Everyone was watching that show going, geez, Jimmy's really on tonight.
He's screaming better than usual.
I saw the footage, and there's a guy filming from up in the crowds, and he sees you fall. And it's like, oh, and you can hear him wince, and watching you drag yourself back on stage manually to back to the microphone, and he was like, that a boy, Jimmy! That a boy! He was so proud of you.
It's only a flesh wound. But you got to remember, the audience was conditioned because they just, like an hour before, some guy had both his legs broken by a bull, you know?
So, you're right.
True. Oh, yeah, you know,
keep singing, you bloody, what are you, girl?
Now, Working Class Boy, obviously, it's your books are huge. Congratulations on the win.
Great.
Even though you beat me, that's fine. that's all right, Dom. And now you've had a lot of gigs, all the spoken word gigs, which have been huge. I remember talking to you saying that you had to go to therapy after writing these books, and you've now done the doco. Have you made peace with your hectic upbringing?
I don't know if I'm ever going to really make peace with it, but yeah, you know, it comes in you know, dribs and drabs. Sometimes I feel completely comfortable. Otherwise, other times I ring the therapist up and say, hey, can I get an extra
it's booking? A session.
Yeah, you know, because it's a lot of stuff, and really, I think stuff's going to keep coming up for a while. You know, it's one of those things I can look back now and realize that there's things that I wrote about in the book that were, you know, that were just the tip of the iceberg. Mm. And it's not like I'm fishing for part two.
No, part B.
But it's just really, there's some things that I've remembered that I don't think I could ever write about. So I've got to, you know, continue to grow. And, you know, the other thing is I remember a lot of the good things too now, which is, you know, at the start there, I could only remember the bad. So I'm actually in a pretty good place. Yeah, I'm all right. But I sort of feel that, you know, I want to write. I want to keep writing.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm going to write.
No, you're going to do fiction.
I think I'll write fiction.
Yes.
Because it's got to be much easier. And
can you just stay out of fiction?
I'll wait.
Because I just
yours.
Signed my fiction deal with it. We've got the same publisher.
I know.
You've already beaten me in the autobiography stakes. Can you just back off?
Yeah, I'll wait till you finish yours. All right.
Thank you. And then we'll our fiction will be different.
We'll team up. You might be surprised.
Jimmy Barnes, what have you got in
store? I'm writing female erotica. Is that the same as you?
So is Jimmy.
Jimmy.
But there's a serial killer in mine.
Oh, okay, great.
Really? Jimmy Barnes. They're so beautifully shot, too.
Mark Joffe, who did the film, is a dear friend of mine. He's a fantastic filmmaker. And I just thought he did it really well.
The shots of the archival footage and shots of Scotland and Glasgow when you grew up, and this is only like 1950, 1960, it looks like it's 1851. And I'm not making a joke there. There's one part where is it your cousin who says that there used to be a line? Why was there this huge line at his house?
Because he had the only toilet. In the street.
They had the only toilet.
Wow.
People would line up to use it.
And they actually had a bathroom, and you could have a shower. And his friends would line up to use. I remember where we stayed, we were in these blocks of eight apartments.
Yeah.
And there was one toilet between the eight apartments.
Yeah.
And it was down in the, it's called a close, which is a little alley at the bottom.
Yeah.
And it was always filthy,
of course,
dark,
yes,
and very scary. And, you know, you know, people, there was always people out there, you know.
Yes. And a lot of the people that you encounter in the documentary, just people from in Glasgow, just in your daily life, and then when you come to Australia, again in your daily life. Jimmy, some of the people that you've, even as a child, have to quite physically fend off you or stay away from would be enough to really change most people's lives.
Oh, you know, there was a hell of a lot of violence and a hell of a lot of desperate people. And the thing is, what you realise, because I've been a drug addict, and I know that when you're a drug addict, you'll hang around with the worst people in the world. Well, my parents were addicts. They were alcoholics.
Yeah.
And when whether to justify what they were doing or whether to get more of what they were doing, they hung around with some despicable people.
Yeah.
Jimmy, it's unbelievable stuff.
Jeez, unbelievable.
And now the books are incredible. I can't encourage everyone to read them enough. Working Class Boys in cinemas, August 23. It's the biggest release, you said.
Yeah, a documentary.
Of any
history.
Documentary yeah. history, and I just you've become such an amazing human, and despite all the things,
finally,
you're
almost bearable now.
But I encourage everyone to see this. But I'm good on you, man. It's really brave.
Listen, you know what? It's been therapeutic, and I think one of the things we've spoke about, and all this, all the way through all this, is the issues I go through. I'm not the only one, and there's a lot of the stuff that stems from blokes not talking, stems from blokes, you know, carrying this false, you know, weird vision of manhood, you know, where they've got to be, you got to be tough, you got to be crying, get that woman a backhand out of your way, and, you know, you got to drink hard, don't show any emotion. And this is exactly what's caused a lot of these problems that I live through, and it's causing problems to this day, you know, with domestic violence, with male suicide, you know, with families being ripped apart in this country. So it's important stuff to listen to, just because we've got to break the cycle, folks. Mm. We can't have you know, domestic violence going on at the proportions that it is now, you know, it's frightening.
Jimmy
Barnes.
It is a poignant story. It is an entertaining story, and it is an incredible story. Jimmy Barnes, Working Class Boy, in cinemas August 23. Mate, always a pleasure.
And it's a great soundtrack record.
Should we say some of the songs?
Yes, I did a lot of stuff on a soundstage because I wanted to make the doco, the music for the doco, along the lines of the Last Waltz by the band. We set up in a theater and re-recorded a bunch of stuff, and I recorded with the Australian Chamber Orchestra, which is one of the highlights of my career.
Wow, the Australian Chamber Orchestra. Yeah, what did they think of you when you walked in? They said you were a roadie. Pick up my cello, young man.
Richard Tognetti, the head of the Chamber Orchestra, right? I got introduced to him in Japan, and I was there, and I remember sitting in Japan, in this hall in Japan, in the ski fields, and it was snowing, and the Australian Chamber Orchestra were playing Vivaldi's Four Seasons, winter.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there, I'm going, this is pretty magical.
Yeah.
And then somebody comes up and said, would you come and like to meet the band, sir? Oh, yeah, now, you know, what do I know about classical music? So I went out the back and he said, hi, Richard. And the first thing I said to him was, oh, you need a singer. and he went, we do need a singer.
Oh, that's perfect.
So then we spoke, and we're going to do a bunch of shows together, and we recorded stuff. Amazing. But that's one of the highlights of my career, playing with these guys.
Good on you, Jimmy.
Good on you, mate.
Not bad for a working class boy. Yeah. In cinemas, August 23.
Yay.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Today FM's secret sound.
What's that sound?
What's that sound?
What is that sound? Rachel from Rudy Hill, congratulations, you got through.
Oh, first step completed, yay!
Not the most important step, though.
Brilliant.
No, but step one.
Yeah. todayfm.com.au, all of the incorrect guesses are there. Have you had a look?
I've looked, yes, and my answer is not there.
That's the first step. That's step two, actually.
Good. Yeah.
Okay, what would you do with the money?
I would go to Hawaii. Yeah,
just nice. Forever?
I'd like to, but no. I will come back.
Okay. Let's hear the sound. $68,000. $68,000. Rachel, what do you believe it is?
I believe it's opening the plastic wrapper of pre-sliced cheese.
Like a Kraft single.
Yeah, exactly, Em. Exactly.
Okay, Joe.
The adjudicators are standing cross-armed behind me. So as I look in my little rear view brain. Oh, and my wife's calling from London. She wants to play.
Hey, Tim.
Rachel. No.
Boom, boom.
I think Rachel knew too.
Sorry, Rach.
Failed at step three.
Sorry, Rach. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
But your guess is going up. Just say what it was one more time.
Opening the plastic wrapper of pre-sliced cheese.
Geez, they've actually walked off the adjudicators.
Yeah, they're so upset. They've left the room.
Oh, that's funny.
Gone. Never,
she's that's, gone. She's actually there. She goes, bye-bye.
See ya. That's pretty funny.
Oh, I'm gone.
All right. Your next chance to play is with MC after 9 o'clock. $68,000 secret sound. Last night, The Bachelor kicked off, and M consensus is that he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. I don't mind the honey badger.
Good. Yeah.
I think he actually is maybe looking for love.
Yep.
And so we met all the women last night.
Yeah.
And look, I've already got a few favourites.
Come on.
We did have the honey badger on the other day. And remember that we asked him right at the very end, who should we be looking out for on last night's episode?
Yeah, we did.
Let's have a listen.
Yeah, oh, she's great, mate. She's a wild bit of gear, but she's got the goods.
She looks like a wild bit of gear. Referring to Dasha. Dasha is from Russia. Oof. Dasha arrived, walked straight up to him, and look, she had a strong opening move. Gosh, she's a yoga instructor. So she decided to do an upside down handstand and just put her crotch right at eye level.
Oh, good.
Badge to eye, badge to honey badger, as
badge
you said, Brad Denyer. And have a little listen to Dasha meeting the honey badger.
Please don't drop me.
Righto. I want to lay down. Oh, wow. She's strong.
She is strong. She's going to take her to him to his curly hair and then just smell his curly hair.
I liked her.
She's strong.
Yeah, I liked that.
She was the first one he put through. Second rose technically went to Dasha. And Dasha spent the evening just eyeing the other women off. She didn't even speak to the butcher.
That's not a cold, steely look you want to be the end of.
Now, next up we had my favourite, Kayla. Kayla's also one of your favourites.
I love Kayla.
She's the energy healer.
She's an energy healer.
Now, when she arrived, she announced she was the energy healer, was worried that perhaps she didn't say it enough, but you did, Kayla, and then proceeded to give him a 2-kilogram quartz rock filled with intentions.
Intentions?
That is
what does
so
that mean?
Excellent.
Have a listen.
So I actually brought this, and it was mine, but I'm gifting it to you to wish you luck on your journey.
Oh, no way.
I really am giving this to you, and I put some intentions in it for you to find your wifey.
One of that size, too.
2 kilos.
Stunning. Wow. I mean, isn't that what you want?
I mean,
2 kilograms worth of intentions.
When she said intentions, did she mean listening devices?
Yeah. My intentions are not to get naked and end up in the pool.
Now, someone did. Someone did end up in the pool. Unfortunately, Taylor thought she could get some attention by bombing into the shallow end. And it just ended with someone going, get out of the pool, Taylor. Not even looking. But we have to talk about Cass because she's what everyone's talking about today. James Weir, my favourite, who's recapifnews.com.au, he's singled her out.
He loves Cass.
Cass turned up and saw the honey badger and realised she knew him because they're flat out dated. She's his ex.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Cass got in there and straight away, I suspect Cass knew the honey badger was the bachelor because Cass watches him sleep through his window in a pair of binoculars every night. I suggest that Cass is collecting his pubic hair and making a voodoo doll as we speak.
Oh, God.
Cass finally got her one-on-one time, and when she proceeded to tell him about her dream diary.
I wrote down goals and, like, dreams that I wanted to happen, like, this year, and it's happening right now.
Really?
Yeah. I'm here and you're here.
There's my name in there.
Yeah. I told the universe what I wanted.
Holy Moses.
Yeah, watch out.
I mean, she's giving Kayla a run for her money, the energy healer psychic, because she wrote in her dream diary, I want to go on The Bachelor and date Honey Badgie in her dream diary a year ago.
Didn't she say the last words she said were, watch out?
Watch out. Isn't that romantic?
I love watch out.
So, look, we're coming. My favourite, he gave the key to the bachelor pad to Brooke. She had a decorative sleeve on. It was amazing. And she got the first row. So Brooke is a clear leader at the moment.
Yeah, did you feel, I didn't feel though that, I felt that was a TV rose, Grant and Em. I didn't feel as though.
You weren't feeling it.
Like it was maybe put on him by the producers to do that as opposed to maybe him feeling it for Brooke.
I don't know, man. I felt as though I didn't think he was giving, he was as relaxed around Brooke.
Well,
I
he liked Sophie with speedboats.
Yeah, and he liked Shannon, the girl.
The first
who came,
girl.
She came in. She
she's
came
my
in,
husband's favourite.
Yeah, she was a ray, he kept saying, oh, a ray of sunshine.
Yeah, and she's a hard-bodied skater. And a tortured artist, which is a great combo.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah. But I just want to go, I want to leave you all with Alicia, who's also one of my fan favourites.
I like Alicia.
Alicia's the political advisor who's going to get a job in commercial radio, let's be honest.
Yeah,
she
like
doesn't give a crap about the honey badger. She's just there to observe the tea in the shade and tell us all about it.
I can see Nick and Kat are on a collision course for Soph. And going by the look in Kat's eyes, I hope Nick gets there first.
So she's the narrator. She's fantastic.
Yeah, so why did she say that? Like, have they sort of pinned her as to say, hey, listen, you've got to describe what the
other... Yeah, she does all the describing.
Right, so she's that's a great way to stick around for a while.
Oh, fantastic.
Be the describer.
And all the egging on her and fighting between girlings because Sophie and Kat dated the same guy and Sophie is apparently still dating Kat's ex. And then Alicia's like... Oh, I heard that you guys have something in common.
Ah, perfect, Alicia. Perfect, Alicia.
So I'll be watching you tonight. I'm live tweeting if you want to follow me at MRussiano. I'm emotionally invested now. So let's keep going.
It's going to be a great series. Yeah. And Grant Denyer, you are going to continue to give us inside scoop because you're getting it from people who worked on that show.
Oh, look, 131060, I'd love your calls. Who is your favourite? Like, who's your favourite at the moment? How are you feeling about Honey Badger?
Actually, give us the, that's a great call. 131060, you saw the show last night. Let's get instant reactions. Do you like the Honey Badger? Do you think the girls are...
Got a fave.
I've got to say it. There's not enough, not enough crazies.
Oh, no. Vanessa Sunshine.
It's early days, man. It's one
and
day
Cass,
in.
Cass is height level, and I think Kayla, the energy healer, has got some stuff she's hiding away.
Well, who do you love? Who are you loving? And also, a lot of these girls are from New South Wales. Do you know? I'm going to, because tomorrow I'm blowing the whistle on one of them that has been messaging a mate of mine on Instagram.
Which one?
Oh, I'll tell you tomorrow. So, I'll tell you tomorrow.
Okay.
So.
I mean, I'll make you tell me when we go to the
song. That's true. I'll point straight away. 131060, what did you think of last night's show?
Who's your favourite?
Are you in on the Honey Badger? And do you know any of the girls, Juliana, Cass, any of the New South Wales ladies, do you know them?
Got stuff to do but don't want to miss any of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed? Download and subscribe to the podcast now at todayfm.com.au.
I was talking Bachelor and asking what did you make of last night? Here's Big Ben from Maroubra. Morning, Big Ben.
Good morning. How are you all?
Yeah, good mate.
Dole, who you liking?
Oh, look, Sophie is clever. They say I'm way through a man's heart like food, but it's actually toys. She gave
Speedboats.
Him the toy boat. Boys like toys.
Yep. Okay, good. Yep. I like Sophie.
Okay, Sophie's 25 from Queensland. Yep, mm-hmm. So she's a tick there for you, Big Ben. And what about, what did you think of Vanessa Sunshine?
Man, where did the producers find these crazy girls that just come on the show with the attitude, I'm not here to make friends.
Yep.
And, my God.
I loved her.
So
I loved her. She loves her personal brand. She said Vanessa Sunshine 25 times.
Yep, and we're all saying it.
And she has some, exactly. Mm. And she has symmetrical bosoms. Mm. I was respect trying to find positives.
Yep, and this is, if you're unfamiliar with Vanessa Sunshine's work, this is her attitude, I think, towards the end when she's not sure if she's going to get a rose or not.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? I mean, I didn't leave my life for nothing. Starting to lose my shit a little bit. Not thrilled.
Okay.
I honestly don't get it. I'm way better.
I love it. When she said she left her life.
Honestly don't get it. I'm way better.
Do you reckon anyone noticed that she's left her life? Do you reckon there's anyone where Vanessa worked going, I was like, where Vanessa's been for 4 months?
Isn't she a receptionist somewhere? I'm sure they're really missing her.
Legal secretary.
But Ben, don't you think we need her? We need our villains on this show. Everyone can be nice.
Yeah, but I don't know. She just play games. I don't think guys appreciate watching girls that play games. It just raises all the red flags.
But I think we do like it early on, Big Ben.
Yeah.
We want a couple of the old frisky ones early on.
Love it.
He'll pick the most plain.
Oh, it'll be so boring.
One. Anyway, we all know that's what they're going to do. Yep. So we need to enjoy the
feisty ones. Well, they're in there now.
Yeah, feisty. Good. Not fruitcake, feisty.
Feisty and fun.
I'm
fun
just
crazy.
Looking forward to what happens. I'm just looking forward to Cass and seeing what unfolds tonight. And I hope her hair extensions have been taken out because they did not fare well last night.
They've had a rough evening. Time for the dad chiller.
Yeah, date my dad.
Date my dad.
If you got a dad that you're aware of in your life, doesn't have to be yours. That is just like a bit slow to get back out in the romance department. Or maybe you're listening now and you're a guy and you're a dad and you would like our help, why wouldn't you, in meeting a bevy of beautiful women.
Maybe you're busy. You don't know how to get started. We're finding love for single dads in Sydney. It's your chance.
Hey, I'd love a strapping truckie, you know?
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yes,
or like a baker. He's up too early. So he's up too early to go on dates.
Or maybe he's like been to war. Maybe he's a soldier. It's hard for him to meet someone.
That's good.
A male nurse. Oh, that's romantic.
Oh, that's nice.
12-hour shifts.
Love
those guys find it hard to get out.
Maybe like a gazillionaire property developer.
That is good too.
You've got a spare seat in the Lambo.
Date my billionaire dad. I feel like we'd have some entries for that.
I think we'd have a couple of spare billionaires. Todayfm.com.au is where you register. We're going to be talking to single dad. Don't worry. We're going to be single ladies. We're going to get a marriage out of this or a lovely relationship, whatever it is.
I agree.
Let us help you.
A marriage or just a...
Or a lovely evening.
A handshake. With you. No, I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
Register, guys. Come on.
Come on. There we go.
This podcast of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed is brought to you by Noble Oak Life Insurance. Buy direct and save up to 20%. No advisors, no surprises. It's Noble Life Insurance. Just search Noble Oak.